Stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live, but first, here's our Denver Bible Church update with an excerpt from this week's sermon.
And so Abraham was willing to offer up his son, Isaac, on Mount Moriah when God said, offer your son as a sacrifice. God was against human sacrifice. But God said to Abraham, offer up your son, your only son, Isaac, in this place that I will show you, in the mountains of Moriah. And on Mount Moriah, Jesus Christ was crucified. In the same place that Abraham was brought by God to offer up Isaac. Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery and became the ruler of the nation in order to save his people. And Jesus was purchased by the high priest as a sacrifice and was raised from the dead as the king of the Jews to save his people. Over and over, the stories of the Bible that in and of themselves, the most significant feature is that they're peculiar. Why is this peculiar collection of stories? Why was it collected by the Jews? Almost all of the stories make them look terrible. They're so evil. They're in rebellion against God. They hate God, yet they collected these stories and preserved them with a passion. And we see throughout the Bible, these stories point toward Jesus Christ. I began studying the Bible in earnest in September of 1973 when I became a Christian 30 years ago. And I've seen that throughout, there are stories that the Jews recorded that make them look so terrible, yet they all have the flavor of realism in that if they were making up a holy book and making believe that they were the chosen people, they would have almost certainly made themselves look to be the best people in the world. Why do you make up a story that you are the chosen people and fill it page after page saying that you're more evil than any other nation in all the world? That's contradictory. If you're going to make up a story that your nation is chosen, the chosen people, you're going to say how great you are. But God chose Israel not because they were the most righteous nation, but because he loved Abraham, the father of Israel, and because he wanted a nation that he could develop a long-standing relationship with that they could bring the gospel message to the rest of the world. That's why he chose Israel. If the Old Testament only had prophecies that were specific of the Messiah, if the Old Testament only had those kind of prophecies, and it said the Messiah will be born at a certain time, in a certain place, of a certain family of the Jews, and he'll do certain things, and he'll live, and he'll die, then it could be more easily argued that, well, the Jewish religion was just some obviously self-fulfilling prophecy. Because if you say, well, some American is going to be born and he's going to go up to the top of Pike's Peak and he's going to chop down a tree, then you're just asking for someone to go up there and do that. But if your holy books can contain dozens of specific prophecies and scores of stories that document the history of your nation, peculiar stories that taken one after another seem to make not a whole lot of sense. But then you put Jesus Christ in the middle of those stories and they all come alive with meaning. And you see the purpose.
God. Now stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live.
One warning and there's truth overhead. It gets beyond.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number 1-800-ANYART. Welcome to Arnold Free Radio. I want to tell you about our dinosaur fossil hunting trip this week that my family and I and friends took. We had a great time. And then Saddam Hussein moving around the country, staying just ahead of our troops, searching him out. They're hoping to take him alive. And then it turns out in 1962, the Vatican issued orders for silence concerning priest molestations. That story's out. The Anglican Church has appointed a homosexual bishop, and now a number of the countries in the Southern Hemisphere are threatening to split with the American Anglican Church. So those are some of the stories we'd like to look at tonight and our O'Reilly O'Reilly segment. Last week, the Fox News host, Bill O'Reilly, reported on a story of a teenage nudist camp. And we, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we've pointed out over the years that O'Reilly is a liberal. He's a liberal. He'll touch on some stories that the average liberals would not, but he's a liberal. When you look at his views, at any rate, he did the story on a teenage nudist camp. And like the liberal he is, O'Reilly took the opportunity to make it into a voyeuristic segment. And he repeatedly showed this picture of two naked girls viewed from the back. It was just despicable. But O'Reilly O'Reilly gets away with things like that and is considered by many to be a conservative leader. Wow, gross. All right. Now, the excavation, we went out to Dinosaur National Monument, where evolutionist scientists have uncovered thousands of dinosaur fossils, and they have them on display there. And it really is awesome because they took one hillside and halfway excavated hundreds of dinosaur fossils and then left it just like that. And they built a building around that side of this mountain. And it's just such a great opportunity to go and see what dinosaur bones look like as they're coming out of the ground. And we have the evolutionist model and the creationist model. The evolutionists say that dinosaurs were walking along and they may be crossing a river just at the point where they're about to die. And they die and they fall down and they get covered gradually. And lo and behold, their bones fossilize. Well, that's not real, because when animals die, they get eaten up by predators and by bacteria, microorganisms, and they're gone. They're just eaten. And Christians say that the fossil record was laid down during Noah's flood. And so around the world, what you find more often than not are these fossil graveyards of hundreds or thousands or millions of animals that are just mangled and mushed together and broken. Sometimes you find fully articulated skeletons, animals that died completely intact, but most often they're just all pieces and broken and crushed together. And so you get a good look at that at Dinosaur National Monument, and there they have an Allosaur skull, which I think there's only been a few excavated in the whole world. An Allosaur is like a Tyrannosaurus rex, but a bit smaller. And they said they have the most complete Allosaur skull ever excavated. There's only been a few. They should add to that sign that they have there and say, except for the Christians down the road on US 40 to the east of us, they excavated an Allosaur skull that's larger and virtually complete, 97% complete, far more than the skull that they've got at Dinosaur National Monument. And the Christian skull had in its mouth a chunk of wood. Part of the wood is fossilized, and the other part is still organic. meaning it has not turned to minerals. Now, how does that happen for 150 million years? That would not happen. And there's just so much evidence that the strata are young, the strata were laid down rapidly, the animals all died at the same time in the fossil record for the most part, 99.9% of them. And that the biblical model is the correct model because the evidence fits into the biblical model, and the evolutionary model is wrong. So we went out, and of our group, we took 13 of us, and five of us, the guys, you know, some of the guys, went along on the actual fossil dig and did work excavating. Now, we were brand new, novices, so they gave us the grunt work, and we moved a lot of rock, sandstone. They should sell T-shirts that say, "I hate sandstone," creationexpeditions.com. They'd make a fortune. But what a wonderful time we had. They're working on a 120-foot-long brachiosaurus. 120-foot-long. They know where the tail ends. They've got some of the ribs they've identified, and they know about where they believe the skull is, assuming the skull is still attached. And so we were digging over the area of the skull and lowered the terrain there by about 3 feet. And it was the size of a walk-in closet. Maybe the size of a walk-in closet or so. And we lowered that about 3 feet, and a lot of it was solid rock. We used pickaxes and shovels and crowbars, and there were some roots growing through it, and we used an axe to cut through the roots. Apparently, you don't want to pull the roots out because the roots could be growing through the bones. And if you pull on a root, you could break bones that are still uncovered. So at any rate, you're still covered. So at any rate, we had a wonderful time with creationexpeditions.com. We expect in the future to talk about them now and then to let those of you in the audience know how to get involved. If you'd like to join in a dig, a dinosaur fossil dig, it's a lot of fun. Now, on the debate, does God exist, at Theology Online, where I'm debating in this 10-round moderated debate against their resident atheist, Zaketh. Zaketh is officially AWOL. And what's happened, by tomorrow night I'll be posting my 9th-round post, and the 10th round is open to other atheists. I'm going to read you that invitation in a moment.
Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here with a live commercial break. Hey, welcome to the show and to this commercial break. You know, it's during the commercials that we give out the information that's necessary for keeping this program on the air, on the internet at KGOV.com, and on the broadcast airwaves in Denver at KLTT Radio. I was able to listen to the rerun we did of the Ann Coulter interview out at Dinosaur National Monument in Dinosaur, Colorado. That's a few hundred miles away, and And it was pretty cool to be out there in the middle of the desert and tune in and hear Ann Coulter commenting on the sermon at Denver Bible Church. So if you enjoy the show, well, I think you'll enjoy the Bible studies that we offer even more. We have audio albums, audio tape albums, Bible studies through books of the Bible, topics. We start out with an overview of the whole Bible called The Plot. That's the very first Bible study album we suggest you get, but you might want to get something else. We've got the Book of Revelation in three volumes. We have a one-volume set called The Last Days. We have a 12-tape album on healing and miracles called Details Galore. It'll blow your mind. It's interesting stuff. 1-800-8-NYAR or the store at kgov.com. That's 1-800-836-9278. I've got here, before I get to the offer for the atheist to join in on the 10th round of the debate at Theology Online, I've got here a package that was sent back to us in the mail, and it's the manuscript that we've been selling for years, the Plot manuscript. And it was ordered by, a nice Christian guy here in Denver, Francis. I won't give his last name. But Francis ordered the Plot, and he sent us a check for it. We charged $49.95 for the Plot, plus shipping and handling, 30-day money-back guarantee. Well, Francis was understandably upset because he sent payment, however, check or credit card, he sent payment and never got his Plot. Well, Bob and Yurt Live, we're a small operation here and mostly volunteer staff. And I shouldn't blame the volunteers. I should blame myself. But the Plot never made it to him. For whatever reason, it got mixed up. The order, it never went out. And so then he got back in touch with us and was a bit upset and asked for his money back. And so, of course, that's a loss to us. And it's another person that we don't have the opportunity to bless. So my staff got a check to refund his money in full and put that check in an envelope with a copy of the Plot. With a note in there, I could see through the envelope. We haven't opened it. We got it back unopened. It said, please accept this copy of the Plot as a gift, and we're very sorry that we didn't fill your order in a timely manner. It fell through the cracks somehow. And so we got it back unopened today in a larger envelope with a note, a handwritten note, very angry, saying, look, I want my money back. You guys are using deception to bring people to your church. But by the way, Bob and Yurt Live is different than the church that I pastor. They're two separate efforts. Bob and Yurt Live is the radio show, and I happen to pastor a church called Denver Bible Church. Anyway, Francis, I'm very sorry. And because you were annoyed that you didn't get the Plot in a timely manner, we maybe should have thought about that you'd get it. Think it just took forever to get there and just send it back unopened. We didn't think of that. And so we had sent you the Plot and your refund. And now I've got them both right here in my hands in the studio. And now he wants the postage, too, that it cost him to send the Plot back. I don't blame him. But see, it's something how things happen. And they can snowball and get out of hand. Wow. All right. Okay, so now on theologyonline.com, the debate, Does God Exist? It's part of their Battle Royale series. This is the seventh in the series on different topics, like is there such a thing as absolute right and wrong? Well, the atheist that I've been debating, and we're now in the ninth round, he has gone AWOL. After his eighth post, he's not been heard of, from, and he's just missing. And he actually sent a private email to the moderator saying he was busy with work and he had to spend a day in a hospital in Baltimore, and he was going to make his final ninth round post, and then that's it. And he never did that. And that was a week ago or more, week and a half ago. And we tried to be as flexible as we can. And so he's now, as of midnight last night, he's forfeited his ninth round post. And we have no reason to believe, apparently, from reading this note by the moderator, Knight is the moderator at this forum, K-N-I-G-H-T. We have no reason to believe that Zaketh is going to post his 10th round. So he started, the moderator started a new thread in the Battle Royale Center ring, and it's titled Attention Atheist. And here's the offer. The moderator says, okay, attention atheists, here is your chance to get in on Battle Royale 7, Does God Exist? Due to the fact that Zaketh has decided not to continue the battle, we are going to give you your chance. No, not just one of you, but all of you. Yep, that's right. Each and every one of you can take a shot at Bob or at your best evidence for atheism. Here's how it will work. Any of you that are interested in participating can submit to me, the moderator, Knight, via private message or email. And his email is knight@theologyonline.com. Submit to me a paragraph outlining your best argument for atheism or your best refutation of any of the arguments Bob has made, or even your shot at answering any of Bob's questions that Zaketh did not answer. There were quite a few of those. You could also compose a paragraph that was a combination of those options. Limitations. Your paragraph must be under 5,000 characters in length. And by the way, you can check the length by pasting your response in the reply box and clicking check the message length. 5,000 characters is not a huge paragraph. For comparison, this post is approximately 2,700 characters. So your when I read it on the screen, Knight's post is about a screenful in my browser. So the equivalent of a couple screenfuls, except there'd be no blank lines in a single paragraph. So, okay. So anyway, let's see here now. All right. The reason we are limiting the responses to 5,000 characters is that the moderator, Knight, will be compiling these entries and making one large post out of all of them, giving credit to each poster who submitted his or her post to me. I may use all of them submitted to me, or I may not. It depends on how many are submitted. I doubt I would accept more than 10 submitted paragraphs. If I do receive more than 10 entries, I will pick what I believe to be the 10 best. This conglomeration of posts will represent round 10 for the atheist position and will give Bob something to respond to in his 10th round post. And then hints and suggestions. I recommend you get organized via email or PMs, private messages. Now, by the way, at theologyonline.com, it's like a community, like a neighborhood, or like an association, a social group. And so people get to know one another, and the atheists and the agnostics and the unbelievers and the Wiccans, they know one another, and they could say, okay, they could each post. They could start their own thread and tell one another, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this, so they don't all repeat themselves. Hints and suggestions, I recommend you get organized via email as to not be repetitive in your arguments. I suggest you be clear, concise, and make a well-thought-out post. Take your time to do some research and help make this a well-rounded finish to an already exciting battle. You will have until Monday, August 11th at midnight to submit your paragraph to me. I will only accept paragraphs submitted by existing TOL members. All right, so those of you listening to this, you could tune in and see what the atheists at Theology Online come up with and what the response is eventually in the 10th round at the end of the Battle Royale. But you must submit your paragraph yourself. You cannot give your paragraph rights away to another poster so that they have twice the space. I'd like a wide range of views, not huge volumes from one individual. Attention, this means you. Okay, let's go to Denver, Colorado. One of the posters at Theology Online, Porter, speak your mind.
Oh, not just one of the posters. I'm one of your avid listeners, too.
All right. Thank you, Porter.
You know, I didn't start going to Theology Online until you started mentioning it on the air, your Battle Royale.
Oh, when was that? How long ago? That was just 2 months ago.
That was about 51 days ago.
Wow. All right, Porter.
You know, you mentioned that it's a community.
Yeah.
You know we talk about you on there. You've got your own forum on there.
The
People
Bob
can
and
go
your...
and listen to your shows, and they can talk about you all the time.
The Bob and Your Live Forum.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We love you in there. Of course, we love the website. We love it. It is a community, though. It's a big Christian community. I like that.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for introducing me to them.
Well, you're welcome, Porter. And it's a Christian community that has quite a few unbelievers strolling through on a daily basis.
And, you know, one of them you were battling for a little while there.
Who?
Zacchaeus.
Yeah, right, Zacchaeus.
And now you get to take on the entire community of unbelievers.
Oh, whichever ones of those will step up to the plate.
I'm looking forward to this because I love your responses.
It's a kick, isn't it?
This is going to be a blast.
Porter, it is so much fun. You know, right now I just flipped over to the Theology Online homepage. And right now, currently active, there are 133 people on the website posting, reading. And I'm looking at, you know, the time. It's 7:27 right now, p.m. Mountain Time. And the last posts were at 7:21, 23, 23, 24, and 26.
So and I'm betting any one of those posts, if you look at those somewhere in there, you're going to see Battle Royale and Bob Inyart Live.
Yeah. Well, we sure cause a lot of trouble, I'll tell you that, online.
You cause a lot of something, and we love it.
Yeah. Thank you, Porter, very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Look forward to seeing you out there.
God bless you. All right. So that's Porter, one of the posters at TheologyOnline.com. Actually, there was an auction at TOL just the last week or two, and it was a redneck auction, and Porter has posted quite a bit in order to become sort of a senior poster, and some of the atheists and liberals were upset at Porter because he just came out of nowhere and he became a leading poster. And you're rated based on how often you've posted. Like Zacchaeus has posted 4,394 times. And so at any rate, there was a redneck auction at Theology Online. I don't know if it's still open. I think the auction is closed. But people were able to purchase decrements of Porter's posts. For every $10, you'd reduce the number of posts he had by 100 or a couple hundred posts or something. And it raised $700. That is so funny. That is just great. And Porter, I think it was his idea to do it. And so we probably got money out of the atheists to help keep Theology Online running. So praise the Lord for that. Okay. If you ever read The Art of War by who wrote The Art of War? The Chinese warrior from about 3,000 years ago. His name escapes me. But he says, whenever you can, use your enemy's resources. Bob Inyart here, encouraging you guys listening at kgov.com to check out the store. We've recently added a few new items. For example, our Nehemiah Bible study. The Nehemiah album is now available via the store. Check in the audio department. And also, The Plot is now available on MP3. The Plot seminar, the audio tape album, the overview of the whole Bible. You can get that an audio tape album for six tapes or on one CD, an MP3 CD. And also we've added one of our partners, Custom Kids Songs. If you have young kids, toddlers, or grandkids, you want to give a gift, you got to check out Custom Kids Songs. Bob Enyart here inviting you to come on out to Denver Bible Church. Denver Bible Church, this Sunday morning, we're in the Gospel of Matthew in our Sunday school. It's fully informal, interactive. You could present your questions, your answers. Of course, your answers, we expect people to do a good job when they offer answers to questions. And if the answers seem a little bit sideways, then we might challenge them. But it's really fun. We have a good time. And you are cordially invited. If you live in the Denver area, then come on out in person. If you're out of state and you tune in via kgov.com, you could check out Denver Bible Church on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. And of course, if you would like to support that ministry, you can offer a donation, give a gift at one time or a monthly gift on a credit card, or send in a check or money order payable to Denver Bible Church. And that is so much appreciated. So whether you'd like to support Bob Enyart Live or Denver Bible Church, you can check us out on the web at kgov.com, or you could call the church for directions, 303-463-1707. Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So the moderator at Theology Online is suggesting that the atheists get together to create a composite post, and it'll be a lot of fun. And the thread he's created, Attention Atheist, is a place where atheists could get on there and ask questions if they want to know specifically how to go about doing that. And they have 4 days, 4 hours, and 30 minutes to get their paragraphs sent in. There's a clock online at theologyonline.com, and it's counting down. So it'll be fun. All right. And by the way, it's from non-Christians. Not from Christians who might want to argue strategy. Okay. All right. And the second post in that thread says, we have officially resubtitled the 10th round of Battle Royale 7, Does God Exist? Bob versus the World. I don't know about that. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun at Theology Online. If you're not a part of it, you're just missing out on a kick. So you're going to want to check that out. Okay. Now let's go to, here we are, Arnold Free Radio and Saddam Hussein. Moving three times a day, according to one of our generals. This story by the Associated Press out of Tikrit, Iraq. Saddam Hussein has been forced to move at least three times a day because of mounting raids by U.S. forces on sites where soldiers have found evidence that someone important, perhaps Saddam himself, had been hiding, according to a U.S. general today. As the raids eat away at Saddam's support network, it has become increasingly difficult for guerrilla fighters, for guerrilla leaders, to find foot soldiers willing to attack U.S. forces. You know, they've been paying people to attack U.S. forces. You know that, right, in Iraq? And if you attack but you don't kill anyone, you get $250. If you attack and you kill a U.S. soldier, they paid $1,000. Well, the difficulty in finding guerrillas to pull off these attacks has driven up the price. Now the amount paid for a successful attack is as high as $5,000, up from $1,000. That, according to Major General Ray Odierno, commander of the 4th Infantry Division, citing Army intelligence. And money tells you a lot. That it's good to know that the price is going up. That's very good to know. Right? I remember the study about homosexuals, whether or not they're born that way. And they said, well, if you look in the homosexual brain at the hypothalamus, and it's a different size than a heterosexual brain. Of course, they didn't take AIDS into account or anything like that. And they only had a tiny sample. And their tiny sample had examples where the heterosexual brain was more like the supposed homosexual hypothalamus than any of the homosexual brains were, and vice versa. But anyway, that was all bogus science. But it did bring up the question of how do you get homosexual brains? And it turns out that a pound of homosexual brains costs about 50 times more than a pound of normal brains. We wondered, why is that? And somebody says, you know how many homosexuals you got to go through to get a pound of brains? So at any rate, back to the Associated Press story, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278, regarding Saddam's movements. He is clearly moving three or four times every single day, the major general told a news conference at his headquarters in one of Saddam's former palaces. That always cracks me up. From some of the raids we've done, there are indications that somebody has been moving through here, somebody extremely important. Saddam is likely being protected by a network of tribal and family supporters who are helping him move around. The manhunt for the ousted Iraqi president is now focusing on a certain kind of terrain and building in both rural and urban areas. That's interesting. Now, I don't know why they would say that, but maybe, you know, I guess our guys think that just letting Saddam know what kind of buildings he's been in will further freak him out. Buildings that Saddam can exploit for security purposes, but then the major general declined to elaborate further. Odierno. American commanders said they decided to revise their raids. You know, we've had these iron-fisted, broad-scale raids. They're revising them to more targeted operations after concluding that the overall number of attacks against U.S. forces had subsided until today, right? And that Iraqis were providing more intelligence, which is great. A development U.S. officers say will enable them to take more of a precision approach in planning their operations to capture or kill Saddam and former ranking officials from his government. And that's so great to hear that we're still out there trying to capture or kill Iraqi government officials, including Saddam. If we summarize a few recent operations, in one of the recent raids, soldiers from the 22nd Infantry's 1st Battalion believe they came within 24 hours of catching Saddam's new security chief, and possibly the dictator himself, at a farm in eastern Tikrit. That was on July 27th. In the past 2 weeks, soldiers in Tikrit have captured Saddam's Tikrit security chief, 3 Iraqi generals, several Fedayeen militia organizers, and one of Saddam's most trusted bodyguards, who is believed to have knowledge of the dictator's hideouts. Now, that's a good take in the last couple of weeks, right? Saddam's Tikrit security chief, three Iraqi generals, several Fedayeen militia organizers, and one of Saddam's most trusted bodyguards. Since the death of his sons, Queasy and Fumi, last month, each raid triggers a new flurry of tips that fuel new operations. According to Lieutenant Colonel Steve Russell, commander of the 22nd Infantry Regiment's 1st Battalion, which has conducted the Tikrit raids. "I don't know if we're getting closer or not," said the Major General, "but we are taking down a lot of people who are close to him. He must move often because his support structure has been affected." So pre-dawn raids today netted four suspected Fedayeen organizers. The success of the raids has also made it more difficult for guerrilla leaders to mount attacks on U.S. troops. Guerrilla organizers have been forced to increase the amount they pay for attacks on coalition forces to $1,000, up from $250, and militia paymasters will now give $5,000, up from $1,000, if an attack kills a U.S. soldier. The pay has significantly gone up, which is a good thing, because it shows they're starting to have trouble recruiting people, he said. Each day, the 4th Infantry Division receives four or five reports that Saddam is hiding in cities ranging from Kirkuk to Tikrit, and every tip is investigated. So four or five reports a day, it's cool. Even if, when we go to go and look at these places, likely hideouts for Saddam, even if he's not there, it increases the stress levels for the people who own the homes. So Saddam comes, knocks on your door, right? And there he is, Saddam and his bodyguard. And the owner has told his niece, who lives down the street, if Saddam shows up here, go tell the Americans and that we want to be safe, not to come in blasting. We're giving ourselves up. If Saddam is found, the goal will be to capture him alive, according to the general, but added that Saddam's bodyguards would probably put up a fierce fight. "We would like to take him alive if we can catch him. Absolutely, it would be helpful to put him in front of the Iraqi people and let them see that we have captured him." So that's just real good news about developments in Iraq. Things, of course, are difficult, but going well. All right, when we come back, the Vatican orders silence about regarding priests who molest parishioners after this. This is a live commercial break. 1-800-836-9278. That's the order line and the call-in line. And if you like to study the Bible, then so do we. We love it. That's what gives us our passion here at Bob and Yurt Live. Well, the passion comes from God, but the Bible claims to be the Word of God. Is it the Word of God? So much of what we do is apologetic in nature. What does that mean? Well, we don't just study the Bible and present it as the Word of God de facto, that it's the Word of God. We believe that it is. But as we study the Bible, we point out the evidence internal to the Word of God, to Scripture, and externally that shows that the Bible is the Word of God. It is just so much fun to see all this evidence for Scripture. So we invite you to study the Bible with us, the plot manuscript. In fact, maybe you'd want this one right here. This one that came back. I wonder if we could auction it off. Maybe we could. You think we should send it out again? It'd probably come. Oh, put a note on it. Refund enclosed. Oh, you think we should do that, huh? Well, that's an idea. But, hey, if somebody out there would like to order a plot to make up for Francis here, who sent his back, we like to think that you'll be blessed. You know, maybe you'll jump up on your kitchen table and just tell your wife how excited you are to study the Bible. It's so much fun. Well, you might not do that. But there is a 30-day money-back guarantee if not satisfied, because it is so rewarding to study the Bible. Whether you want to do that with us on audio tape, MP3, CD-ROMs, or in the manuscript, call us 800-8-N-YARD. Arnold Free Radio, right here, Bob and Yurt Live. So it turns out that the sex crimes cover up nationwide has apparently been ordered by the Vatican. This according to CBS News. Now, I generally believe only half of what CBS News reports. You know, by accident, they get about half of the stuff right. But this looks like a credible report. Of course, the Vatican may choose to rebut it, but I doubt that. For decades, priests in this country abused children in parish after parish, while their superiors covered it all up. Now it turns out that the orders for this cover-up were written in Rome at the highest levels of the Vatican. CBS News correspondent Vince Gonzalez has uncovered a church document kept secret for 40 years. The confidential Vatican document, obtained by CBS News, lays out a church policy that calls for absolute secrecy when it comes to sexual abuse committed by priests. Anyone who speaks out could be thrown out of the church. Oh, and by the way, that includes the victims. The policy was written in 1962 by Cardinal Alfredo Ottaviani. All right, so that's 40 years ago. And a cardinal, that's a high-ranking official of the Roman Catholic Church. The document, once stored in the secret archives of the Vatican, focuses on crimes initiated as part of the confessional relationship in what it calls the, quote, worst crime, sexual assault committed by a priest or attempted by him with youths of either sex or with animals. Gross. But you know, when you mandate celibacy, you ask for this kind of trouble. I mean, it's just as bizarre as could be, especially since the New Testament lays out the qualifications for bishops and elders and deacons, and it says that they should be the husband of one wife. Now, if a bishop should be the husband of one wife, what's with the celibacy thing? Weird. And Peter, you know, Peter was supposedly the first pope. He was married. And we were in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, my wife Cheryl and I and our dear friends. And we just happened to stand next to a tour that was being given. And the tour guide pointed out, and this is where St. Peter is buried in Rome, in Italy. They bury people in their basilicas, their churches. I personally think it's weird to put dead bodies in churches because, well, the churches themselves are dead. And it's sort of hard to be kicking up and having a good time in the cemetery. It's just weird. But at any rate, the tour guide said, this is where Peter is buried. And I raised my hand and she called on me, even though we weren't part of the group. And I asked her, where's his wife buried? You would have think we were at McDonald's and ordered fries without salt. What a mess. Where's his wife buried? Because the Bible says he was married. And Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. Now, that would be a real cruelty of fate, to have a mother-in-law but no wife. Imagine that. So obviously he had a wife. In fact, the Apostle Paul was grouchy one day when he was writing to the Corinthians, and he complained that he said, Peter and the other apostles, they travel with their wives, and I'm always stuck with Barnabas. You know, he's looking for a little bit of sympathy, which is fine. And so Peter was married. At any rate, when the Catholic Church says priests, popes, bishops, cardinals can't be married, they're just begging for this kind of scandal. It's tragic. So in 1962, this Cardinal Alfredo Ottaviani wrote this, and bishops are instructed to pursue these cases in the most secretive way. This is quoting from the document. In the most secretive way, restrained by a perpetual silence, and everyone, in the text indicates, including the alleged victim, is to observe the strictest secret, which is commonly regarded as the secret of the Holy Office, in other words, the Pope, under the penalty of excommunication. Now, that's the exact opposite of the Bible's approach. God's approach in the Bible, if King David commits adultery and murder, God doesn't sweep it under the rug. He puts it in the Bible. Hundreds of millions of people have read about King David's adultery. Hundreds of millions of people. Right? And how about Abraham? Out of fear, compromising his wife and hiding behind his wife. That was a tragic story, one that his son Isaac copied, that some powerful king might be interested in Abraham's wife. So Abraham says, Sarah, tell him I'm your brother, that you're my sister. Now, actually, they were half brother and half sister. But tell him I'm your brother so he won't kill me. And then Abimelech, which is not the name of a king, it's a title like Pharaoh. Abimelech took Sarah to be part of his harem. And God stopped him before he made a move against her. In fact, God met him in a dream at night and said, Abimelech, you're a dead man. And Abimelech said, she told me he was his brother. She told me he was her brother. Sorry. And he said, you know, please don't destroy my household because I believed what they had said. And God could have destroyed Abimelech and his household for countless other reasons, but the Lord allowed him to live and did not destroy him. But anyway, so Abraham did some things that were embarrassing. In fact, most of the Jewish patriarchs did terrible things. Judah, which is the fourth of Jacob's sons, the tribe from which Jesus Christ was born, Judah went out and hired a prostitute, and it turned out to be his own daughter-in-law. He didn't know. She was all made up. And he impregnated her, and she had twins. And from those twins came eventually King David and Jesus Christ. So if the Vatican was in charge of the writing of the Bible, none of those stories would have been included. But God is smarter than the Pope, of course. Even the Catholics would admit that. But God is not in rebellion against the teachings of the Bible, like the Roman Catholic Church is in so many ways. And so what the Bible teaches is that you shed light on crimes. You don't cover them up. You don't hide them. And it's not that every sin needs to be publicly announced, hanging the dirty laundry in the town square. That's not it at all. But things that rise to the level, or actually sink to the level of requiring excommunication, or are crimes, or things that require ministers to step down from office, from leadership positions, those things should not be covered up. And the priest who molests somebody moved somewhere else. So, you know, I wonder if there's legal implications to this document. Because that's when things really become a crime, you know, is when they're systematic. If somebody in a business at Barnes & Noble is stealing from customers, well, then that's not a crime committed by Barnes & Noble. That's maybe an employee. But if it's at MCI and they're systematically robbing their customers, their subscribers, of billions of dollars, which is the accusation now against MCI, then, you know, the legal implications are obvious. And so now the Vatican is effectively, it's another country. And I don't know, I'm not familiar with cases where the Vatican has been sued. I don't know how you'd go about that. In Italy, the Vatican is not part of the Italian government. It's a country all of its own. Vatican City is its own country, its own ambassadors, its own laws, its own government. So at any rate, a lawyer, Larry Driven, quoted by CBS, who represents alleged victims, said that this document is significant because it is a blueprint for deception. You know, here in Denver at Bob and Yurt Live, we've got friends of Bob and Yurt Live who had a relative who was molested repeatedly by a priest in the months after his father died. He was introduced to alcohol by a priest who took him on trips, got him drunk, raped him. And this poor kid grew up to be an alcoholic, wrote a letter to that priest, never mailed it, and committed suicide. Shot himself in the head with a gun. And the family has asked the Catholic Church, we'd like to know about this priest, if he'd been previously moved to cover up this, you know, such behavior elsewhere. And the Denver Archdiocese has totally stonewalled this family. They're not going to tell them anything. And that's just wrong. So we'll let you know more about that story in coming programs. Hey, it's been fun talking with you. Looking forward to tomorrow night's show. We'll find out if Doug McBurney's in town or out traveling on business. Until then, this is Bob and Yart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Do right, and don't you